Welcome to today's online message from Long Eaton Oasis Christian Centre. We are a church at the heart of the community with a heart for the community. And we're so glad that you've joined us. We hope that you'll be inspired and encouraged today. Please don't hesitate to contact us. If you want to find out more, you can visit our website, www.longeatonoasis.co.uk, or you can direct message us.
We've really been excited and really blessed over the summer period of the series Summer in the Psalms. Something about the Psalms in the Bible which really speaks into every heart and every life. The Psalms is a book of worship, poems, wisdom for life, and in the midst of life, whether it's at the heights of joy or the depths of despair. And so as we've gone through the summer in the Psalms, different members and people in the life of our church have been sharing. And so it's been really great to hear different people share a different perspective. And so I recommend and encourage you to go on to www.longeatonoasis.co.uk. You'll be able to listen to every message. You don't have to download the message. That means it doesn't take up memory. And you can listen to for free. You can also take an Apple podcast and listen to those messages. And I encourage you to go back and look up Summer in the Psalms and listen to the different messages. There'll be something in there for you, I'm sure. And so this morning, Pastor Andrew is going to come and share. Andrew's a great communicator, and he's going to share from a psalm this morning. So let's pray together, shall we, as we open up our hearts to receive what is being shared today. Lord God, we open up our hearts and lives to your word, the Bible. And as Andrew shares, we pray that he has great liberty and freedom to share what's in his heart of your heart for our hearts this morning. What's in your heart, release it in Andrew's life, and may we receive it in our hearts this morning. Something for each one of us, we pray. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to change us, speak to us, and we position our lives in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. If it's your first time with us, an extra special welcome to you. Notice some visitors with us. Can we give it up? Give an Oasis welcome to those who are here for the first time. Really is great to see you. As Pastor Adrian shared, we've been going through our Summer in the Psalms. It's been a great series. Love this. Different voices each week, inspiring things. So today we're going to dip into a psalm that really resonates with my heart. Take the right ones, Adrian, they're mine. If I were to ask you what's on your playlist, I wonder what you would answer with. If what was on your playlist, what would you say? For those who are wondering what a playlist is, it's like an app you can just put music collection in. Back in the day, we used to do it on cassette tape. Anyone remember that? Sunday afternoon, listening to the charts and pressing record on your cassette tape because you were too tight to go and buy the vinyl. Anyone remember that? So what would be on your playlist? I see Steph's hand. Steph comes into the office every day in a different T-shirt with a variety. His T-shirt is a walk-in playlist. Honestly, different bands that you've listened to. Phil Keaggy last week, wasn't it? And appreciate a good bit of music from Phil Keaggy back in the day. So, why am I saying that? As Adrian pointed out, the Psalms are like a playlist, a collection of songs. And there's some lyrics in songs that we just don't get, isn't there? Is anyone else like that? You listen to a song and you're singing along and then you realise, what are these lyrics I'm even singing? I remember for ages I was listening to Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody. And I wondered why on earth he was singing about sparing his life from a warm sausage tea. Anyone sparing his life from this monstrosity? And Johnny Nash got some classic summer songs you can play. And again, I wondered why he was singing about two women. I can see Deirdre now that Lorraine has gone. And we wonder why. It's not that, by the way. I've discovered since that I can see clearly now the rain has gone. I can see some of you are wondering about this. But there's some lyrics that we just think, what? Why on earth? The Psalms, as I said, it's like a biblical playlist, a collection of songs, and the lyrics are important. They're not just some silly lyrics to go with the beat or the song for us to enjoy. The lyrics are important, and we've heard that over the last few weeks, the different lyrics. And for those interested, you can now get all 150 psalms in a ready-made playlist on Spotify. Some of you are looking at me like, what's Spotify? Listen, talk to someone under 30. You'll be all right. And it's all the Psalms put to music and song. It's actually pretty good. So that's the Every Psalm Project. You can go and download the playlist or go on their website. So Psalm 78, this is where we're going today. It's written by a guy called Asaph. He was a singer and a musician. He was appointed by King David. Helen spoke about King David the other week and from the psalm that she shared. Incredible guy, but King David appointed Asaph, and he became a chief musician. And his name actually means one who gathers together. So that's just what he did. He gathered together gifted musicians, singers, songwriters. It's a bit like what Tim does here. Tim Sanders gathers the musicians together and forms a musicians team that serves each week in worship. So that's what he did. That's what he was about. And then there's at the start of this psalm, there's this little statement that comes at the start of this psalm. And you'll find it in some versions that I've not actually included in there. But it says this, a maskil of Asaph. And that's really important because this wasn't just a nice song. It had a funky beat, anything like that, one you can stick in your Spotify playlist. This psalm carried something important for those who heard it or recited it or sung it again and again. Maskil is a Hebrew word that means instruction. So there is instruction in this psalm. He was preparing us. So when we looked at Psalm 78, when the previous generations looked at Psalm 78, they knew that there was going to be some instructions that followed the maskil of Asaph. And it's as relevant for us today, I believe, as the first day that Asaph penned this psalm. So it's something for us to take hold of. I'm going to read the first eight verses, and yes, they're up there on your screen, so you can follow along if you've forgot your Bible, not got your Bible, or you can't be bothered to look at the app. It's up there for you, okay? So Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8, it says this, a maskil of Asaph. My people, listen to my teaching, listen to what I say. I will speak using stories, some versions say parables. I will tell secret things from long ago. We have heard them and known them by what our ancestors have told us. We will not keep them from our children. We will tell those who come later about the praises of the Lord. We will tell about his power and the miracles he has done. The Lord made an agreement with Jacob and gave the teachings to Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. And then their children would know them, and even their children not yet born. And they would tell their children. So they would all trust God. I would not forget what he has done, but would obey his commands. They would not be like their ancestors who were stubborn and disobedient. Their hearts were not loyal to God, and they were not true to him. And this psalm goes on even further. You can read that yourselves. It shows the history of Israel, how they'd forgot God and his instructions and his teachings, and they just gave him lip service. They'd forgot about what God had done in their history. So that's what it goes on to tell in Psalm 78. And this is a psalm to inspire and instruct one generation to tell the next generation about God's goodness and grace. You could say it's a powerful biblical picture of generational discipleship, a call to believers to actively pass God's history down. And generations is a key theme throughout the Psalms that we may have not picked up on over the last few weeks, but it around about 60 times it speaks in the Psalms about generations. In Psalm 48 says, tell it to the next generation. Psalm 71 says, declaring God's power to the next generation. Psalm 80 says, God is our dwelling place throughout all generations. Goes on and on and on, speaking about generations, the importance of generations. And you know what? I feel blessed every Sunday to come and be a part of a church family that is from, as I often say, across the nations, but across the generations too. We're so blessed to have a church that represents young people, old people, and everyone in the middle. It's incredible, isn't it? Anyone with me on that? We are blessed. We are blessed. Amen. And you know, as a church, we place value on our children. We place value on our children. And they're not just filling seats while they're in church. And we're not just filling time in their programs that they have. Our teams aren't just babysitting. We need to remind ourselves of this. Our teams aren't just babysitting our children and young people. They want them to know Jesus. They want them to know his grace and his power and his love and their potential too. And the psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 78, it speaks of telling the next generation about God's works so that they will teach their children and so on and so on. And as we look at this together, my heart is really that we're inspired to do the same. Whether we've got children or whether we've not got children, what we have got is a generation that we're part of and a next generation that are around us. And so, church, let's embrace these words. So there's three things. They all begin with T. That's what makes a proper sermon, isn't it? 3 points and the starting letter all the same. The first thing we're going to look at is tell. Tell. And you'll see on the next screen that the few places where it says tell. There's a key word, tell. In verses 2-4, it says, I would tell secret things from long ago. It goes on to say, we would tell those who come later about the praises of the Lord. We would tell about his power and the miracles he has done. It's a key theme of this psalm, Psalm 78, tell. You know, my dad was a great storyteller. My dad was a fantastic storyteller, and growing up with him, we'd just like, oh, Dad, tell us another story. Even in my teens, oh, Dad, tell us another story. He was a great storyteller. He'd tell us stories about how the church that we were brought up in, there was a trip to the zoo, and he'd tell us a story about how an ape escaped and bumped into one of the ladies who was in our church at that time, escaped ape in the zoo. I had to fact check some of the stories that my dad was telling me, to be honest. He'd tell us about growing up and life on Bradley Street in San Diego. I don't even know if Bradley Street's there now. I think it's probably been knocked down. He told us about skipping school. I mean, it's not very inspirational, is it, to tell your children, oh, yeah, when I was your age, I skipped school. He'd tell us about his dog, Prince, his Alsatian, and the antics he got up to. But amongst those stories that he told us as children, he used to tell us stories like this, how he used to open the doors of church and shout swear words in the church, and then run off. And I'm not teaching you this. Okay, just to clarify, this is just a story. But he also told us how he'd try and run, but how actually Jesus chased him down and became a Christian. And he'd tell us how Jesus saved him and he changed his life. He'd tell us how he taught himself to read the Bible because he couldn't read. He'd tell us his stories about how his tests became testimonies. And inspiring stories that we heard and were brought up on. Stories are important. Stories are important. And listen to this. The National Library of Medicine reports this, that story is the type of communication that has the ability to change our attitudes, our behaviours, and our beliefs. It's interesting knowing that recent report has come out about storytelling. It's interesting that Jesus taught using stories a third of the time, parables. And in fact, Matthew referred to this particular psalm, Psalm 78, verse 2, when he talked about, it was almost prophetic that Jesus was fulfilling, that Jesus would speak in parables about hidden things from long ago. It was prophetic. Psalm 78 reminds us that as believers, we have something so incredible and valuable to pass on to our children, to the next generation. And that is our faith stories. That is our faith stories. To share what God has done to keep us focused on what he can do. Hearing stories of what God can do is so important. That's why I love baptism services. I know I keep saying this. I love baptism services, not just because we're baptizing people and seeing people grow in the faith, but it's an opportunity to hear stories, faith stories of how people have come to meet Jesus. It's powerful. Last week, we had some stories shared in here from those who had been away to Christian festivals over the summer. Incredible. I think it was Nathaniel shared how over 500 young people had given their life to Jesus and miracles that had taken place and people coming to faith and starting their own faith stories in their own faith journey. I love those kind of stories. And it's important that we keep on telling and keep on recounting those stories of faith. As it says there, to remember God's wonders. Anyone want to hear some stories? So God is doing incredible things across the world and in the UK as well at this time. So my daughter recently went to an 18-plus Christian retreat at a place called Capemary. Anyone heard of Capemary? Some of you have, some of you might have been there. So she came back and I said, oh, so how was it? And she said about how the speakers were great, how the activities were great. She said the food was not so great. But the thing that she was raving about, the thing that she had remembered, the thing that had settled in her heart amongst all those things was some stories of other people finding faith in Jesus Christ. And she's told me a story that I'm going to share with you now, because faith stories are good to share, good to pass on, good to inspire others. So she said there was a girl she got chatting with, and she was 20 years old. She was a cocaine addict, addicted to cocaine, and knew nothing about Jesus, never been to church, not interested at all. She lives in Scotland, and she had a dream about Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to her through a dream. She woke up and she's like, who's Jesus? Who is he? I don't even know who he is. It was the start of her investigations that led her to putting her faith in Jesus Christ, becoming a Christian, started going to a church, invited her mum to church. She was completely blind. Her eyes were white, completely blind. She got prayed for at this church and she got completely healed. How incredible is that? This is now. This is this generation that we're speaking into and speaking about now in the UK. And let me tell you another story. You want to hear another story? Dave Allen is one of our Elam missionaries, and he was placed in Cambodia. And I recently heard this story about Dave Allen. And he was working in a very desperate, needy place, lots of poverty. Desperate people, desperate situations. And one night he received a desperate call from a young woman who herself had a very troubled history. And she had got a 2-year-old son. Her child was kidnapped and taken away from her. Dave Allen, the missionary, received a call that this had taken place. And he knew that where the child was going to go. Within hours, this child would be sold into slavery, taken who knows where, just a 2-year-old. You can imagine the devastation of this young mum. And he himself felt devastated by the situation, and he just felt compelled that he needed to go, knowing where the most dark, dangerous area where the kids are sold into slavery is. He made a decision to go. He had the courage to go. And there was a guy, a local guy he was working with, who came with him, and he said, I want you to stay there because they'll do something horrible to you if you come with me into this particular area. They may not do that to me as a British citizen. And he went through these dark streets, dangerous area, the gangs of guys hanging around in this particular place where he knew had a reputation for things to take place. He walked straight in. He saw the child in front of him. There were two men, two women. He picked up the child and said, not this one. And he picked up the child and walked away and took the child back to his mother. I mean, imagine the mum's delight to know, to be reunited with her child, 2-year-old. The story doesn't end there. 3 weeks later, one of the guys that he recognised from that gang turned up at one of his meetings and at the church service. And so Dave said to him, why did no one stop me? It perplexed him there was big groups of gangs of guys and no one stopped him. So it perplexed him. So he said, why has no one stopped me? And he said this, no one stopped you because of the crowd that was surrounding you, protecting you. This guy was on his own. But God had sent angels to surround this guy, to protect him, to rescue this child. This is now. This isn't Book of Acts. This is Book of Acts stuff that is happening now. It's incredible. Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you want to hear another story? Because I love stories. Val's going, yeah. It means that we're going to finish at 2:00, Val. Are you still all right with that? Tim Alford is our Limitless Youth Director for Britain. So he oversees the youth movement within Elim. And recently he was interviewed on radio and he shared this story. And it's absolutely incredible. He told a story about a girl who was prayed for in a youth meeting After she was prayed for, her self-harm scars on her arms completely miraculously disappeared. Her two friends who had no interest in Christianity whatsoever, who were with her, saw this and both of them become Christians. How amazing is this? God is on the move. God is on the move in our times, in this town, in this nation, across the world. So let me ask you, because these stories are important, let me ask us, how about us? When was the last time we told a story of how God rescued us and redeemed us, how he set us free at a low moment or season in our life? Maybe it's the time that you lived with addiction and Jesus set you free, or the time that you were in the right place at the right time and God used you to speak to someone. Maybe it was the time you realized God's word over your life was more important than the words of the enemy. Or maybe when God made provision for you when you had absolutely nothing. I want to ask you, what is our faith story? What is the story that we can keep on telling to others? I'm sharing this because I'm preaching it myself, because it's been a challenge. This is a challenge to me. What am I doing in my day-to-day to tell others about Jesus? When I was growing up, I used to think that I didn't have a testimony because I was brought up in church. I never did this and that. Face challenges as every young person does. But I used to think that I didn't have a testimony, especially when you're brought up in church, you hear so many incredible stories of salvation. Then God corrected me and he says, your story is that I've been an anchor in your life. We've all got a story and we all have opportunities to share those stories. I was ended up, for one reason, last Saturday in A&E, emergency care department, and I'm proper squeamish. Some of you know this. I don't do blood. Even talking about it makes me feel a bit giddy. So I'll lean on this. And of all the places this guy could sit, who had basically decapitated the end of his finger, it was horrible. There was blood. And the waiting time always seems a long time, doesn't it? Anyway, of all the places, he sat next to me. So I'm like, the last person I wanted to look at was him. So I looked the other way and I glanced over to him and he's there smiling. Shame what had happened. Anyway, we got talking, and in talking, it was an opportunity for him to tell me his life story and for me to share my faith story. And then we got treated, he got treated. Later that day, in the evening, he searched Instagram. I don't know how he did it. Found our coffee house, which I was sharing about him with, and we've been messaging back and forth. Now, I don't know where this is going to end, but I'm praying that he finds Jesus, as well as the A&E department. Sometimes it means getting uncomfortable to tell a story about what God has done, because that story could be really powerful to someone else. So stories are important. And, so often we share our frustrations with those around us. I want to encourage us to share our faith and God's faithfulness with others, his power, his miracles, his grace, his strength to see us through. And this telling the next generation isn't just about sharing the past, but it's also about preparing them for the future. It's creating a legacy culture. Church, I want to encourage us to continue sharing our stories of what God has done, but let's be open for God to keep writing new stories in our time, in our town, and in our lives. And the next thing we see from telling is teaching. If it is up there, there we go. You can see that circled in yellow. Teach. Verse 5, it says, teach them to their children. Teach the next generation. Adrian shared a report with me a week or two ago from Relevant magazine. And it was a report given by Lifeway Research that had done a study about church in Gen Z, Gen Z. Do you say Z or Z? Z, Gen Z. I'm taking it from Elise because she's a lot younger than me, so close to Gen Z. So for those who don't know, Gen Z, 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 is 14 to 29 year olds, that kind of age bracket. And this research showed how God is moving amongst that generation. They're having dreams and visions, Holy Spirit moving in a powerful way. They're asking questions. There's a real hunger to know about Jesus. And they're attending services in higher numbers than we've seen. They're passionate in the praise. They're reaching out to their peers. But this report that Adrian shared with me also shows that 43% of Gen Z churchgoers say the Bible has not made a significant difference in how they live. Chuck Peters, the director of this place, did the research, so says this: our research shows that Gen Z is deeply involved but not being deeply formed. You know, church, I don't see that as a failure. I see it as an opportunity. There's a need to teach as well as to reach. There's a need to teach as well as to tell. And Psalm 78 says not only to inspire faith in telling stories, but also to ground faith in teaching statutes. A few years ago, we invested as a church in a load of Bibles for each of our young people. I think in the end we gave out about 40 Bibles, something like that, for each of our young people. We saw that as being really important. We have the Gospel of John available every week at our welcome point. So if you've come and you've not got a Bible, the Gospel of John here is available to you at the welcome point. These are great little resources, a little portion of scripture with QR codes that you can link to videos. So fantastic. In our coffee house over the road and Bourne House next door, we have bookshelves, and we always make sure this Bible is available on the bookshelves. The Bible is accessible for anyone that wants one. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17 says this: remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. So that's one thing about a generation passing on and sharing to the next. And it goes on to say this: you have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, not just little bits, not pick and mix style, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Amen. So there's a passing on and there's a teaching in. And it really echoes that scripture there, something of Psalm 78. The Bible isn't a bolt-on to our experiences, but it's an essential to our growth as Christians. I'm going to say that again because I thought it was quite good. The Bible isn't a bolt-on to our experiences, but it's an essential to our growth as Christians. St. Augustine, so he was an early Christian philosopher, became a Christian, was born again at about 32 and pretty much immediately got baptized. He said this: the Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown, yet deep enough for an elephant to swim. Oh, that's good, isn't it? I like that. I'll say it again. The Bible is shallow enough for a child not to drown, yet deep enough for an elephant to swim. There's enough in it for our children to experience and taste God as a child's mind, learning to grow and develop. And there's enough for the deepest scholar as well to be lost in the wonder of God in Scripture. So that's what St. Augustine says. And that's why we have sparklers. That's why we have teaching in sparklers from the youngest. It's important our children understand Scripture. That's why we have a variety of life groups that meet so that we can grow together and discover the teachings of Christ, how God's word applies to our lives, how we can pray. You know, what we allow in our eyes and in our ears steward our influences and enter our heart and our mind. And it's better that we do that in the word than in the world, isn't it? It's better that the influences that come through our eyes and our ears come from the word of God than the world. That's why it's important. You know, if we want what's best for the next generation and for us, it's in his word. If we want to know God's word, where is it? God's heart, rather, where is it? It's in his word. If we want to know what we can stand on and stand for, where is it? If we're unsure about our future, where is it? It's in his word. And if we're still not sure about things, we can turn to the Word, Jesus Christ, the greatest revelation and expression and communication of God to mankind. And I believe in these last days, there's going to be false teachings that come in and try and filter into the church. And maybe that's through AI. I read a story this morning how there was an AI competition for the best photograph. You could enter it if you got an AI image. And it was a global, you submitted globally from across the world, your picture. And the winning picture was of a flamingo with a sandy background. Incredible picture. I don't know if anyone's come across this story. You have. It got rejected, didn't it, Ruth? Because it was an actual photograph in an AI competition. There's something strange when we live in a society where we reject the real for something false, isn't there? And we've got to be aware of this. I came across a video a few weeks back, and it was a pastor in his church, and he was sharing something, and it panned to the congregation, and they got the Bibles open, and they were following along and nodding, and this guy was going for it. And then I thought, ooh, something he's just said's a little bit off. I don't know what Bible he's reading from, but I don't see that in mine. Anyway, followed through to the end, and I thought, doesn't settle right in my heart. And you know what? It was an AI-produced video of a pastor speaking to a congregation with a gospel message that was off. This is why we need to be aware. This is why we need to be familiar with our Word so we can test what is being said and spoken in the world today, because it's not always gospel truth. So it's important that we look at those things. Church, let's open our hearts and our Bibles. Let's discover his teaching. Let's be enthusiastic to journey together in his Word. Let's continue to teach our children. If we're not in a life group, can I encourage you to be part of a life group where we can share the Word of God and bounce around our questions and settle on something that God's speaking to us about? The final thing then, and I've got 5 minutes. The final thing is trust. In verse 7, you'll see it circled there, is trust, that they would all trust God. We have a generation and it's hard, they find it hard to trust. There's a mistrust. Mistrust means basically not being sure about the truth. Truth's become so distorted and disguised and deteriorated that we're at a point where we are familiar with the phrase, well, that's your truth, but it's not mine. Anyone heard that? It's not your truth. That's your truth, but it's not mine. So I want to ask us, church, where's our plumb line for truth in a culture today where we're thrown into, where AI is thrown into the midst and false teachings and all those things that Paul warned us about in the book of Galatians? What is our plumb line for truth? Because it's not always going to be the news. It's not always going to be social media. It's not always going to be AI. It's probably never going to be AI. But Jesus made an incredible claim. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. He didn't say you can know a truth. In today's culture, you can know a truth. He said you can know the truth. Jesus was claiming that of himself. He also said that that Satan is the father of lies. And too often we accept the lies of the enemy rather than the truth of the Savior about who we are. And who he is, who God is, and who we are in him and through him. And this is why Asaph was saying this to the Israelites. Remember, remember, remember who your God is. Tell stories about him. Teach about him. Because he is the truth. Jesus spoke the truth. He told the truth about love and compassion and marriage and grace and sin and judgment, about worries. He spoke the truth in all those areas of life. But he not only told the truth, but he embodied the truth. And how knowing the truth brings freedom. Trust and truth are interwoven. They're interwoven. And there's a truth that leads to trust. And in trusting in Jesus, it changes everything. And some of us, I'm sure, this morning have experienced that truth at work in our lives. So that's where Asaph was going with that psalm. And as parents and as grandparents, as friends, as a church, we who believers, we have this shared responsibility, but also opportunity to tell and teach others. But trust is a personal decision. And maybe you're here today and you've not entered that place of trusting Jesus as your Savior. And I want to encourage us today that there is a Savior that we've sung about today, that we're passionate about, who is changing lives, as you've heard through those stories. There's a Savior, Jesus Christ, who laid down his all so that you can know him as your own personal Savior. And I want to encourage you today, today could be the day where you place your trust in him, discover the reality of a love and relationship with him in a world that throws false things at us. He is true, he is trustworthy, he is the truth, he is the way, he is life. He is life. And I want to encourage you, maybe today, start your relationship with him. Psalm 78 is not just a parenting lesson. And I'm going to ask if Jord would come back and lead us in a final song this morning. Psalm 78, it's not just a parenting lesson. So if you think, well, I'm not a parent, this rules me out. It's not. There's more to this psalm than that. This psalm is about, it's not just a parenting lesson, it's a legacy lesson. There's more to life than this moment we're experiencing now. It's about looking ahead, and sometimes we can become, I don't know, so focused on temporary pleasures that we lose sight of eternal treasures. You know what I mean? We get so consumed with life and everything that it throws at us that we forget actually there's more to this life. There's the next life, an eternity with Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that what we're going through now isn't important. It just means, like Asaph was saying, there's a big God and he loves us and he gives us grace and strength. And it's going to release a story in our lives that we can share with others, even in those hard times. The encouragement of Asaph in Psalm 78 really is that there's a faith that we can live, but there's a faith that can outlive us. My heart really is for us to embrace what God can do in our lives despite our failings, that he decides to choose us to reach a generation. Despite those things that we get wrong, despite our flaws, our failures, and sometimes our lack of faith, he still chooses us to impact the lives of other people. What a great and gracious God we've got. Let me say this. Perfection isn't a precursor for God to use us. If that was the case, we'd all be in trouble, because sometimes your leaders fail you. Sometimes our children fail us. We as parents fail. We don't always get things right. As friends, we fail one another. Perfection isn't a precursor for God to use us. God wants to use us despite those things and to keep coming back to him as he encouraged the Israelites to do. It's trusting in him. It's having a ready and open and available heart for him to use. Can I invite you to stand if you're able to? No, hold on a minute. I'm going to do this a little bit different this morning. You can sit back down and get comfortable for a minute. Sorry, keeping you on your toes. Verse 7 says this in the Amplified Version, that they might set their hope in God. What an amazing thing to tell and teach and trust that they might have their hope in God. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is found in him. It's not in my career. It's not in my income. It's not in my family. It's not in my SAT scores or exam results. It's not it dependent on which government are in. It's not dependent on my family, my savings. It says there, my hope is in God. I want to speak a verse over us, church, and then I'm going to ask us to respond in a moment. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "Then may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." May our hope overflow. There's something about making a choice in following Jesus that creates room for overflow from our lives into the lives of others. And if we want that, if we want to impact our generation, then I'm going to ask us to stand, because I'm going to pray. If you have got a heart for this generation, please stand. If you are a parent and you're concerned about your child and their future, please stand. If you've got children that aren't walking with Jesus this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand, because we're standing in the gap. If young people, you are concerned about how messed up things are getting in your generation, but knowing that God is doing great and wondrous things, and you want God to use you in your generation, I'm going to ask you, would you stand? If I've missed anything else off, but you want to stand, you can stand. But let me pray for those who have stood, those who have the desire to and not able to. We're just going to pray. Next week, we are going to have the opportunity to stand again as baby Ollie is dedicated, Sam and Alison's little precious baby boy. And we ask people to stand in those moments to signify support in teaching and telling the children to grow up in Jesus. We're doing it this week as well, as a heart response to God's word in Psalm 78. I'm going to ask, maybe just close your eyes, maybe say your own prayer. God, use me. God, give me new stories to share. God, stir my heart with a passion that you've got for this generation. Go on, just begin to say your prayers in your words as I begin to pray over us this morning. May there be an overflow of what you've done in my life into the lives of others, Lord Jesus. Lord, may you stir our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit with a deep desire and passion to share Jesus with others. Lord, give me those opportunities that I can walk in to tell my faith story to others. Lord God, may I have a faith that outlives me, that inspires the next generation. Father, I just pray that you would release your word into our hearts and lives this morning. That this wouldn't just be a moment, but it's something that brings momentum in changing a generation in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the incredible stories of young people giving their lives to you. We thank you for that girl who is up there in Scotland today worshipping you, who didn't even know you but had a dream about you. We thank you for her mum's healing as well. We thank you that there's a child that is around today safe with her mother because someone courageously stepped out in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that there's many young people like that young girl who have stories of you healing their hearts in such a powerful way that becomes a witness to others. Father, I want to pray for Zach, who I met in hospital that day, who runs a dessert bar in Ilkeston. Lord, I pray that you would stir something in his heart this morning. Even this morning, he says, he sent me a message. Lord God, reach into his heart. Father, I pray that this would be a place that releases faith stories in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. Come on, keep saying our own prayers this morning. May this be a place where we share faith stories that impact our generation. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Thousand generations falling down in worship to sing a song of ages through the land. All who've gone.